explaining that these are kinds of tenure. Part tenure is a source of income. Because if a person is what he needs, that person is what he needs. Mining guys, you know that before. Now, to all the slides where there are pictures, rather in a very short space of time, because I know that we are working against time. And the next strategic objective, what we're talking about, is the allocation of land for housing infrastructure. Having identified the forms of tenures and what is on land, we also now look at the use of land better than what it is currently used for. If one looks at the current landscape in South Africa, it would be noted that there are what we call government grant houses, or some people will refer to them affordable housing or low-cost housing, etc. But those kinds of grants or privileges are only confined to urban areas under municipality and not on traditional land. From our own perspective, we believe that to some extent that constitutes discrimination among citizens of the country, and that in as much as the people in urban areas are entitled to those government grant houses, the same holds true for people in traditional areas under Amakhosi. And for that reason, we identify land in conjunction with municipalities, sometimes in conjunction with developers, for purposes of affordable housing. For that reason, what we say, we're budgeted just for land identification only, and then thereafter, once land has been identified, we wait for applicants who have got the necessary financial muscle. In particular, at this stage, if we may say, the KwaZulu-Natal provincial government has developed a policy on rural housing. We were allowed to make an input therein, and municipalities have been assigned by the government as the developer. So it is in this context that this strategic objective will be realized. The identification of land in the outskirts of the township is another strategic objective, because we had a number of townships before. We have identified for now four towns which we regard as among the biggest, as the towns where we would identify land in their outskirts. And the question is why and what are we going to do with that? Most of this land which is in the outskirts of the township for us is useless. Either it has got road reservation, but we are likely to attract the question of rates. Meanwhile, we get no benefit out of it. The Act allows us to do something with land that is of no use to us. So once we identify those pieces of land, we'll enter into arrangement with municipalities, among others. It may well be that we donate them for parks, donate them for expansion of roads, or else already the provincial or national government is already registered road reservation there, but we need to have information in this regard. And the four townships that you note there, like I indicated, are within the bigger towns, like Mlazi, Wamashu, Zakeni, Osizweni. The last two are outside Durban, but the first two are within Ekurhuleni municipality. And then where we say the other strategic objectives will have no cost to the board, let me explain on monitoring of legislation impacting on land owned by the Ingonyama Transport. It is very crucial for us to know what legislation impacts on us, because one or the other has got financial implications or other legal implications. Just to quote a few, The Communal Land Rights Act, which is called CLARENCE, once it comes into operation, it has got wide implications for Ngonyama Tribe. And we need to be ready to respond to the dictates of that act. The Traditional Leaders Framework Act has got wide implications for us. We need to know how that act works and how it talks to the Ngonyama Tribe. The Municipal Property Rating Act, which has already begun to be implemented, has got wide implications for us. 2.7 hectares of land, 2.7 million hectares of land, once you've got that part of land being subject to rent, how long can you survive? That's very critical. The Mineral and Petroleum Resources Act has got implications. Why? We have mineral rights in our land. There is a theory that at some stage, maybe by 2010, the royalty will belong to the state. What becomes of the communities with the currency substantially dependent on the royalties derived from minerals. There is also the Mineral and Energy Act, which currently talks about the service stations and so on, where by a person who owns a service station, if the land is owned communally, we need to make a comment, and there are a number of prescripts that are applicable to that regard. So it is always important for us to monitor the legislation that operates, or that has got an impact on Ngonyama land. And then, apart from that, particularly with regards to CLARA, we need to interface on closer basis with the Department of Land Affairs, because in some instances in terms of CLARA, Ngonyama Trust Board has got powers which in other provinces are vested with the minister. But with regards to Ngonyama land, those powers vest to the Ngonyama Board as opposed to the minister. So it's quite critical that we liaise closer with the minister so that once CLARA comes into operation, we are able to act uniformly with the minister. I think, Chairperson, most of the pages that follow henceforth are merely the details of the broad issues that I've been talking through. I think they can better be dealt with during question time, unless it is necessary for me now, but I do realize that as I go further and further, I would be facing the risk of appearing as though I'm repeating myself, meanwhile I'm giving more detail. What I can only do is just to say, this would have been page 23 in my slides, but if you could just move, I think, a couple of pages where we start dealing with the budget, because it's just a repetition of what I said at the beginning when I illustrated, I think it would have been page 23 if one were taking these numbers, but it's at the end of all the strategic objectives when we start dealing with, after the target, after the page with a target perspective, the last page on target perspective, the next page for the heading, the budget. I want to talk just through in conclusion with that budget summary. I'll talk with those, only through those two pages. The total tax income, now in figures, it will be noted, is $15,857,941.78. That is the total trust income for purposes of budget under consideration. You take 90% portion to traditional authorities, which would then be 14 million rand, which will then be allocated by the trust to the traditional authorities from whence the business activities are taking place, be it mining, be it leases, the PTOs. That is what the traditional authorities will get. And then the trust will then remain with 1.58 billion rand. And then for purposes of his own administration, you only have 2,351,000. That is the money voted by Parliament to the ICT and through the Minister of Land Affairs comes to us for purposes of our own administration. In total, therefore, after paying the traditional authorities, we would then have the budget of 3,936,000 for payment of staff and our own administrative requirements. The next page then talks to you, Chair and honorable members, about how we generate the income. You'll note that just from PTOs alone, we get about 277,000. But this talks to PTOs which are in excess of 1,000, for instance. Commercial PTOs only generate about 12,000. But you'd notice that with leases alone, we can add them 250 at this stage, talk about commercial leases. We already generate close to 1,000,000, that is 997,825. Royalties and prospective income, 7,000,000. And then from investment income is another 7,000,000. So in a nutshell, these are the primary sources of our income. The rest of the other pages, the expenses and so on, are clearly set out in my presentation, Chairperson. And the committee has this in its at its disposal, and I would leave that for question time. But what I will do in conclusion is maybe to move to probably the last page, which would have been page 40 in my slide. It says summary and conclusion. As I emphasized at the beginning, that there are two critical factors that need to be taken into account if one reads the Ngonyama Trust Act of 94 amended. One is that we own land, two, we manage land. But in doing so, it must be taken into account that there are other activities which are taking place on their own, because it's not our function to manage the affairs of the communities which live on the land owned by the Trust. And for that reason, what we say is that the Ngonyama Trust Force sees its role increasingly as a real estate and land management orientation. For that reason, we need to have every detail about land before we can say we manage it. And two, we say to this extent, the Trust seeks to strive as a model in real estate management in the country. Because for the government to succeed in real estate management, the bulk of the population live in communal land. For those people to derive the benefits that flow from a number of acts passed by the government, that land must be properly managed by whatever entity the government puts in place, and we believe we have the opportunity at this stage to be a model which the government can transplant to other areas where it still faces a huge challenge in terms of communal land management. And we say the strategic plan and the budget for 2007-2008 have been prepared in order to achieve the optimum usage of land for the benefit of communities and other parties, including the state and municipalities and other parties. We say the benefits flowing to persons living on trust land will include income, which I've already demonstrated, from rents for commercial development, joint ventures for community participation in development. For instance, we do have land which are nature conservation, where community participation must take place, rather than assigning that to entrepreneurs whose object is to make profit and the communities remain unskilled with lesser income. And joint venture communication and community participation in the development of communal land. Like, for instance, we have seen already the chain stores like Spa, the Pick and Pins, and so on. I'll begin. beginning. An integrated development will come to language learning and implicitly in other similar areas throughout the country through the process of employment opportunities, skills transfer, quality of life improved through provision of housing, provision of infrastructure and basic services. Our view is that, for instance, to give a practical example, we have a situation where a developer would be appointed by a municipality to develop affordable housing on land owned by Ngonyama, which by definition is under municipality and at the same time is under traditional council. Our view, when we sign those agreements with them, we make it very clear that people will not be affected, there will be no removal of people. That's one condition. Other condition is that, as a condition, you need to give us a settlement testing, as well as an undertaking that the infrastructure will be extended to those communities, because there is no point now where you've got the people living in communal land. There is no water, there is no electricity, there are no roads. So it's becoming a condition of the agreement any developer will enter with Ngonyama that those basic services, the municipality is obliged to bring them in. If the municipality has got problems, our executive authority, the minister, must be aware of that so that she can at any time put pressure to the minister for local government at national level to have municipalities if they have budget deficit in this regard. The latter part of this case is just an interesting about voter fund and non-voter fund. In this regard, I thank you, Chairperson and members of this committee, wherein I have left out certain information. It is for reasons that my colleagues will ask in the course of this presentation, and at the same time, that arising out of the questions of the members around that, I'll be able to clarify myself when I have not been understood or where I have not expressed myself well. But I may just, with your permission, ask maybe Advocate Robin Heimer to add one or two things maybe before we take the next step. Thank you.
Madam Chair, my chairman, sorry, chairperson, the judge, has really been very thorough. I think it would just be of interest to the committee to know that we have, with the permission of the minister, obtained our own office accommodation. That will free up office accommodation in the Land Affairs Provincial Office, which will save the Exchequer having to hire more accommodation for officials, as they will be able to take over ours. The property we purchased will become an asset of the trust. If the trust ever ceases to be, it will become an asset of the state. we haven't moved to those new offices. we are hoping, with the additional accommodation available, to pull some of our posts. Now, I want to assure the committee that when the trust was really formed by this parliament in 1997, when it enacted the Amendment Act, which, ma'am, amended every single section of the Act, virtually reenacted it, an assurance was given to the then minister and the then portfolio committee and the NCOP committee that this trust would not build a bureaucracy. So when we say full posts, we're still talking within a total staff establishment of about 12. But with 2,700,000 hectares, we cannot really fulfill the duties entrusted to us by Parliament via this Act with a staff of 4 or 5. There's certain things we must do, and if I can illustrate, we will agree with a tribal traditional council that certain project has to be undertaken. We check that traditional council has got credit in the trust. We get business plans, we agree to it, and we say we release the money in tranches for a particular project. It might be dock building, it might be poultry, it might be commercial fish farming. But what we don't have is eyes to go and look that it's been successfully stated, if you know what I mean. So we need to build in either a panel of people that we can use from time to time, or must have some limited capacity within the trust secretariat to monitor such projects. Ma'am, I don't want to talk for talking's sake. I know these portfolio committees are busy. You've got a lot more than us. So I won't say more than that, but I'm here to support my chairperson if there are questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr.
content. There's a lot of those here.
And now, on page 3, the mention of the application of the San Pedro to the town to give the township local authority. That was part of the trust plan to the actual connection. Now, what are the benefits or otherwise of the existence of some of the trust land outside of the trust district as of the local authority? What benefits do the people have gained by being outside of the trust area of the district? And on page 7, this is a matter that I imagine that would apply to people, the public entities like institutions, police stations, and government departments that would be find in the urban area or even in the farmers. I'm not sure what the situation is, but what is the position regarding the page? When it is using tribal land. I take tribal land to be tribal people land owned by that community. Owned by that community. And as such, if somebody uses, somebody has to land, then we expect some kind of rental to be paid. So, what is the position here? I know that most of these facilities are for the benefit of the community itself, but in essence they are owned by the state. So I just know, but like, I'm not sure as to what the situation is when the state uses, like the land of farmers, whether it's state or not. You share with me, sir. I was not aware that Sally would be here, so I had to look at the number of questions. Now on page 18, I don't know if you'll be able to identify page 18.
Yes, I will.
That language is identification on the object of the council. The towns are expected to be distribution fed by the year 2009, that will be complete, which means in 2010, 2011, and 2012, there won't be any thing of the kind, and yet there are the budget for even those years, 2010, 2011, 2012. Well, why is there such a question? It doesn't appear to be anything like this to be done from those years. Now on page 25, the talk of money generated from TCO, General Commercial Industry. Now my understanding of TCO, this would be the general one, would be the kind of permissions occupied issued to a person or a family settled in a location of the city of land for residential purposes and other blood of men. Now if that is not the case, are they expected to pay anything? Seeing that the growth are received to the owners of the land in the first place of the building of the community? Or is it some other kind of a situation? That is issued to thank you, sir.
I'm here today for the important study. He's taking, but no one is. He used to do the same to us. Taking and taking, but no way. So it wasn't today. Other was that.
Chairman, you know, because I'm his subject, I won't complain. Otherwise, it was not his subject.
I would have requested him so that we fall the king's trap, because we may fall in the trap of asking the same question. Because I'm told that the document is referring to, of course, the same document, but in terms of same format, in terms of dating, because ours is not dated at all. Maybe, of course, you know, he had an opportunity of being assisted. Anyway, as you said, let me return to the issue of dating. When the chair, acting chair of the board was making presentation, he referred to our colleague page 3, which is that plan and budget 2728, that he is going to come back to this particular issue. Maybe I would apologize if I didn't hear him coming back to that particular issue, because I was under the impression that he said, no, I'll come back later. Later means that after the last page, they'll come back later to that particular page. If he has come back, as I said, to that, I will apologize. But if not, I'll then be able to explain to us why he didn't come back to the issue that said come back later to address. Having said that, Sir President, I'll be using the main document and also the presentation to Malkenia. I'm looking at the trust corp business said in terms of the main document that says the trust corp business is to manage through its board the land for the material benefit and social well-being of individual members of the KwaZulu-Natal tribes. I'm assuming when you say KwaZulu-Natal tribes, we are talking about the KZN and as a whole, not only those that have a jurisdiction. Because the interpretation of KwaZulu-Natal means, therefore, that we're talking about the KwaZulu-Natal, not only those that are under the Ingonyama Trust jurisdiction. Maybe we just have to look at address us on that particular point. Having said that, Chair, maybe you've answered a question which, in terms of this particular document, says the trustee's policy is not to sell land, but to grant leases of up to 40 years with an option of renewal. I'm reading that sentence on the basis of the CLARA implementation. But if, therefore, you are saying that in terms of that 40 years and the option for renewal, you need to, because if I remember correctly, when the land affairs or restitution came before us, they praised that in terms of their operation, I think of last year, if I'm correct, that they are doing very well in terms of the KZN as a whole, not in Ingonyama Trust land area, in terms of the implementation of CLARA in this regard. We therefore suggest that transfer of land will be effective in certain areas. I just want to hear your comment on that particular point. The other issue, Chairperson, I'm going to concentrate on the budget at this stage, under the expenses. Under the expenses, the budget of 2007-2009 under own fund expenditure and departmental expenditure. I'll just deal with those simultaneously, of course. If you look at the audit fees for your own fund, you have budgeted for 207 and 208. But under the department funding expenditure, that's what is not funded. But you do have that item, you have an external internal auditor, but it's not funded there. But if you come back to your own funding expenditure, under the audit fees, both internal and external, from 208 to 2012, it's not funded, in terms of expenditure, of course. But under the department funding expenditure, of course, you do have expenditure there from that 209 to 12. Let me also address that on that. I'm looking at the main document. That's right. It's not paid, of course, but I'm just looking at the expenses there. That you didn't care, you aren't intending or to care any expenses from 208 to 2012. For your own funding expenditure or the fees is currently internal. But in terms of expenditure, we are intending to pay expenditure for this internal external auditor from 208 to 2012. Chapter 3, in terms of again expenditure, you see, once again before us here, there was an issue of a tekwini, money that was supposed to have been paid by Bonyama Trust, and there was a dispute in that particular issue, and they were promised then that this matter would be resolved as soon as tax can possible. I didn't see my colleagues will point me where in fact it indicated that this matter has been resolved, since it was a burning issue then, because it was running to millions in terms of the money that was owed by Ingonyama Trust to the Kepini municipality. We'd appreciate if you can get an indication of that particular one. And also in terms of the maybe let's see if they can also address us on, I think the horses my colleague has raised is under the title to consolidate, maybe to be consolidated, I don't know. They did, they are supposed to be consolidated in terms of your land management. Because I'm sorry, the issue that maybe was raised in terms of your budget there. But there's no indication, though there's a part in terms of your size of budget. And maybe in terms of again, the land management, allocation of land for housing, infrastructure purposes, in your main document, note 5, you see percentage of applications received to be concluded. I just want to check whether is this a trend that each and every financial year you intend only to conclude 80%, not less or not more, which seems to be a trend, right from 80%. I'm not sure what is the intention in terms of that factor, or the reason is behind that particular issue. Maybe the person is there with me. Okay. And in terms of the privatization of state forests, I just want to check in terms of your relationship between the national department, which is dealing with, which is administering the forest, of course, and also the local authority when you privatize this particular forest. Also, in terms of the benefit of the community in that particular area. Because I saw one of your documents talking about the black empowerment on your special plan. Whether in terms of that, is there any case study that you can refer us to within your jurisdiction, of course, that we have been able to transfer or to privatize this particular forest where the black empowerment has been successful or whatever case it be, and also the pros and cons of that particular empowerment around the forest particular issues? Maybe let me pause there, then I'll come back. Oh, sorry, last issue. Request for additional transfer payment funding. Under the board has in principle approved the budget, in principle. I interpretation in principle that is not approved in total. It has been approved in principle, you still have to consider that, I don't know. But in so doing, notice that a deficit arose due to increase in salary expenditure. I thought the Leonard Advocate had dealt with this particular issue briefly in terms of says that there are about 12 staff members, if I'm correct. If I had, he said 12 members. But if I'm counting here, it's 16, not 12. I came across with the number here of about 15 under the Ingonyama Trust Board salary schedule. If you look at that schedule, you count it there, if my mathematics is correct, it's about 15, not 12. I don't know whether this 12 may be, that's my calculation there in terms of a schedule. So if you can also address us on that particular issue, in terms of 12, so address us. Thanks, Professor. I will come back by the unfortunate.
I would like to thank the presenter, on state target perspective, using the layman's eye, what I recognize, I think My husband is the honorable leader, where the budget is declining by half for this number of years, 2009, 9, 10, 9, 11, 12. I think that's one. And then my second question, honorable chair, on the basis of legislation, which has an implication on the Ingonyama chart. I think on this one I'll need to maybe clarify what maybe one in the pieces of legislation for me to be one of not the community. Usually when legislation is tabled, there are public hearings. So I do not know if maybe the board never got an opportunity of coming to make a presentation on the pieces of legislation they alluded to. If they did, it means that maybe what they have in mind was not considered. So just a clarification on that one, because there are, I think there are quite a number of implications on the pieces of legislation that we are having. Thank you, sir.
If not, let me use this opportunity, let me keep my comment in hand and not ask the question. This is the one issue is which I think look, the Monument Trust, when they came before us, last time they raised the issues in terms of the assistance to the community there. I wonder if maybe they can also really assist us in this regard, in relation telling us so far what they have been able to do in relation to that to the Clara and the other legislative issues that they've raised here. Whether they see that they might have problems in terms of the transferring of those pieces of land to the community themselves. Or how do they see the implementation of Clara in their area of jurisdiction, you know? And also, if they can also clarify for us, because when they were here last time, they raised a problem that they're having between themselves, perhaps, with the land affairs that is not communicating with them. Though they come here and say that there's a problem in terms of their areas where they have to the claim of land in that particular area. We indicated to them then that no, maybe there should be an interaction between themselves and the land affairs. Whether there's been an improvement of that interaction between themselves and the land affairs in that particular area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to base my question on what the Honourable Mr. Ali has just was waiting for him to present that introduction to my question. In the presentation, we did hear that the Ingonyama Trust Board has always wanted to avoid being a huge bureaucracy, which I think we applaud. There has been a change in what the country as a whole and the people of KwaZulu-Natal expect from the Ingonyama Trust Board. This change is imposed by the high hopes that are raised by Clara, the investment of Clara, to people who have been denied opportunities for development deliberately under apartheid. Clara promised to kind of liberate them. I think it has been said by Comrade Nick that the Department of Land Affairs takes the Gonyama Transport as its kind of experiment in the application of LARA throughout the country, which poses a problem to those people who had hoped that LARA implementation would liberate them elsewhere. So rural communities in the country hoping for the benefits of LARA are waiting, looking at the Gonyama Transport to see what kind of liberation they are going to experience. They are going to see it implemented in the lives of rural communities in KwaZulu-Natal. And they are like people who have to escape fire, who want to escape fire now and as quickly as possible. And therefore, I don't think they will have patience to say the experiment they are waiting for it is going to take long. These challenges suggest in my view that there ought to be some going back to the board in as far as structuring of the Gonyama Transport and participation, if what I perceive from the statements from our government.
Thank you, Kat. The first question came from the chair about the business that we inherited, and chair wanted to know the duration of those leases and wanted to know the income derived from those leases and what are we going to do with those leases. As a general statement, what I wish to say in response to that to chair is that one always hope to rely on the DIS office about information regarding activities on land under certain circumstances. Like for instance, any lease that is for 10 years or more is regarded as a long-term lease and must be registered notarially at the DIS office. So the leases which we inherited are 99-year leases, which even predate the act was the government. Some entered in 1920, some in 1930s. Those leases are very generally drafted, from which the rental amount prescribed that in is very paltry. And secondly, those leases do not provide for escalation, and they do not also provide for review. So as a result, you are locked into those listings. There is no legal ground upon which you can cancel. And it also does not anticipate a state where the land on, in terms of which that lease is entered into would be subject to rape. At the time the lease was entered into, was under what was called native trust land, which was not subject to rape. So you may find that you have a lease on land where you are, as a landowner, paying rates which are higher than the rental you derive from that lease. We are picking few of them that are now expiring. It shows aging and times. I think we pick only two that expired in November 2005, which tells you that they were reaching their 99 years. And ordinarily, what kinds of leases are those? You would find that there would be those traders who were put on what was called native reserve. Wise traders who would ordinarily build a house and a shop. And at the event that is next to nothing. It's only now that we have an opportunity now where upon renewal of that, we are basically renegotiating the whole. But of those few, what they are doing already, they are selling them to other people. So it makes life easier. But to answer the question, what are we going to do with them? We're trying now to make the leases conform to our standard term of lease, which is a 40-year lease. It would be noted that we have moved away from 99 years to 40 years. Why 40 years and not a shorter period? Maybe in this comment, I'm already partly alluding to what the Honorable Member, Ms. Mitali, has said about Zara coming in, but I'm not suggesting I'm under instruction here, but it's just a demonstration. Ordinarily, for commercial purposes, the person who wants to rent property wants the return on his or her investment. You'll have a person who says, I'm a developer, I've got pick and pay, boxer pick and carry, spa, and anchor tenants. So I must spend 60 million rand to bring those 10 there, those 10 stores. For me to spend 60 million, I must be sure, assured that I'll be able to recover 60 million. So you can't say to that person, no, look, there's flood coming, we can only give you 12 months or so. You are now accused immediately of chasing away development. So, in our view, whatever tenure regime will come, a lease will remain a lease. And for that reason, we feel any astute business person who cannot recover his or her money in 40 years will never recover his or her money. Because in 40 years, you can take a bond for 20 years to put up the structure and service the bond with the rental. And you've got another 20 years wherein you reap the profits of your investment. That is what informed the quality of the bond. Hence, we have moved to that level. And then thereafter, after 40 years, that particular community has got now an asset from which it is generating income. Because if you extend at least for another 40 years, it is no longer now. Ingonyama might still be there or not there, but the community will be there. But they own the shopping center from which they derive their income. That is what informed the board of this. So that is how far I could answer the chair's question. Coming to the question by Inkosi Philizwe Ndaba. One question is the facilitation of transfer to township, and his question is, what are the benefits for the community which is now in a nutshell losing land to municipality? We are only interpreting the act. We must repeat the following, that Ingonyama is a creature of the parliament of this country. If Parliament tomorrow decides to dissolve the Ingonyama Trust, end of the story. So our actions take away the township, but we can understand why. The banks, first, they have an investment where they have extended loans to people to build houses. Now, the ownership of that land from the bank's point of view is no longer secured now, because while the bank might have registered a bond over a property A, in a deed of grant, as it is called, Now the ownership has now changed into Monyama, and therefore the bank felt, banks felt insecure. That's number one. Number two, again, in the passing comment which was raised by on what Mr. Blandy raised as well, this has been the sore point because it is the source of conflict between Monyama and municipalities who are the recipient of these townships when they say in the first instance, when we transfer this land to them in terms of the act, now they say we owe rates in respect of the very same land they are getting, which individually belongs to various people. So in a nutshell, what we are saying is the land was a liability in our hands because at that time when Monyama started came into operation, only the townships could technically be rated. Now, if you rate the township which is owned by Ngonyama and you don't provide the budget to pay the rates, what was happening was we ended up with a situation which I will deal with more fully when I answer to the question by Mr. Clark. But what I'm saying is, it was not a benefit to the community to have the townships. In fact, it was a curse. And for that reason, if we excise all the townships on Ngonyama land, we've got less burden of potentially being rated. The other question from Steve Ngaro was, he wanted to know on state domestic properties whether the state was paying or not, because in his view, Ngonyama land for purposes of leases is considered private land. That is the correct proposition. But the difference is the following. What we inherited, you would have a situation when the government enters into contract with itself, it's always a kind of contract where it does not expect to derive benefits. So what was happening was, at one stage the land was owned by the government, and the government was contracting itself for a lease which is next to nothing. Not different to the 99-year leases, because it says, look, this is the government. Like, for instance, we do have some leases with the Department of Agriculture, let's say for a particular project. So when the government drafted those leases, it took into account that it owned the land and therefore it was not intending to generate income. It's only now with this review process where we want to regard everybody who wants a lease. That lease must be, the rental derived from them must be market related. So it is that context, I believe in Java, that I accept you are correct, but in the past it was not treated that way, but we want to treat it the way you suggest. The other question from Denise Dara was the declining of a budget in the identification of township outside in the identification of land outside the township, and that we budgeted for years where by definition we should no longer have a township. What we want to say with that is the following. We have identified, that is on page 18 where the list cover refers to. I think we say that by way of example, even in my discussion, we've only identified four townships, but the total townships that were excised from us are about 63, 65. But for the year 2007, 2008, we identified that we clear these townships. Then Philippe Ndaba is correct to say, relative to the amount of money we pay, there are no township mentioned. The reason is the following. Even the amount that is reflected there is not a strict budget because we cannot budget for the next 5 years accurately. But what we are saying is that there are four townships we have referred to. As we approach each year, one, we will take into account which other townships require a priority, and then we put those townships, and then we put the exact figure. So in a nutshell, what I am saying in this regard is that by 2010, we do believe we will still be having townships still registered on Ngonyama land.
And the question is why? The question is the following. The reason why we still have townships up to now, when the Act was passed, the Uyama Act, which says the township, the Act does not apply to township and so on, many municipalities resisted taking ownership of those townships because they said, firstly, it's an unfunded mandate because the government, they did not budget to receive those townships. That's one. That is the response from municipalities. So they allowed a fair amount of time to go by. We had to help them by raising money with the government ourselves to help them take some steps. Otherwise, by law, if we take a strict legal interpretation, what we are required to do is just to say, if you don't come and take those properties, hard luck. The same, like I'm saying, with the Department of Public Works. In the whole province, the Department of Public Works has only taken one piece of land, and that is Murchison Hospital in Patterson. Unless we push them to say, this is your property, take them, they are doing nothing. So what we are saying in the strict interpretation of the law is not really our duty that, because once the law proclaims that Cape Town, for instance, is a metro, Cape Town must act like a metro. Once the law says township vests in the municipality, vesting takes place automatically. But what happens is, well, you must read the Uyama Trust Act with other acts. Because the title deed is still in our name if you go to the police office. But when you come to us for rent, you say, this property is now deemed to be yours from the date on which this act came into operation. So it's more of that legal technicality that we have offered to assist municipalities, not that we are bound. And for that reason, in terms of taking transfer, part of the expenses are taken over by municipalities. But I thought maybe if I explain it that way, maybe it answers the question from the reason that. On page 25, the question is, as far as the living data is concerned, on residential PTOs, people do not pay anything. Okay? That is correct. But what does happen is the following. If a person applies for a PTO for the first time, there is an upfront fee that that person, whether it's commercial or residential, that person pays upfront. But thereafter is not paid. So it is in that context of purposes of residential that these PTO income generation come about. I think I've attempted to answer the question from Julie Ntava, and then I'll try and move on to the Honorable Member, Mr. Lali. His question was, I've undertaken to come back to page 3, and his understanding is that that meant after the last page I'll come to that question. Well, we can debate whether I meant that, but that's not the right time. The fact of the matter is, if you read each and every sentence there, it's something that in the course of my presentation I was saying to some people. And number two, in my concluding remarks, I said where I have not made myself clear and where it is necessary, I will have to go back. I respectfully wish to say that if I were to go back to page 3, nothing that I have said up to now is not certain. So it would, in my view, constitute a revocation. Unless there is a specific question on page 3, with your permission, Chair, I beg not to go back. If I may then move forward, the other question relates to, in our core document, in our founding document, we say, we give an impression that our jurisdiction goes outside the Uyama land. We infer that we are managing land for the material well-benefit of people of KwaZulu-Natal or tribes of KwaZulu-Natal. If that is the wording, it is wrong because we do not have land which straddles beyond what was
the ones who government land. So in a nutshell, although we operate in KwaZulu-Natal, but it doesn't mean that Ingonyama land is everywhere in KwaZulu-Natal. So our mandate is only confined to the land which is clearly identified in the act as belonging to particular communities which, in which the former KwaZulu Legislative Assembly had jurisdiction. The question of 40-year leases, which was raised, is what do we have in mind in entering into 40-year leases while Clara is in the office? Like I said earlier, Clara would not do away with leases. This is how we interpret Clara. And Clara, in our view, is not going to give everybody a freehold right. It's quite clear what Clara is saying. Clara talks about old order rights and new order rights. We do not know what the content of those rights are, but we are more than satisfied that a leasehold will remain a right, whether you call it old order right or new order right, a leasehold will always remain there. Our view is that Clara, in fact, if one reads Clara proper with the Constitution instructed the government to provide a law in respect of those people who had insecure tenure rights as a result of past dispensations. We respectfully are of the view that a leasehold was never an insecure right. So that reason, that in our view, a leasehold will remain a leasehold. And for that reason, we don't find any contradiction between the way we operate and how, what Clara is going to bring to the fore. I may say that, because this was also raised by the Honorable Member Mubona, about whether we do make an input on legislation or not. Yes, we are aware. In 31 reads Clara, Chapter 9 of Clara, the substantial part of Chapter 9 of Clara, comes from Ingonyama Board input. But when we say we manage or we monitor legislation, we know that every act of parliament imposes obligation and rights. So we always want to identify what does this act of parliament instruct us to do. That's what we mean. For instance, there's an act which talks about alien vegetation. If you've got alien vegetation on your land, it's a criminal offense, you must remove it. Therefore, you need to fight it. There is a fencing act which says adjoining neighbors must contribute 50-50 in putting up a fence. Some of our neighbors belong to KwaZulu-Natal Farmers Union. One farmer will just send you a bill of about 16 kilometers of fence to put up. That is what we mean by monitoring legislation today. This legislation, by it being enacted, these are its implications on Ingonyama, because you own 2.7 million hectares of land. How many fences are there where they will ask us to contribute and provide the community? So, in that context, one, I'm saying, that is what we mean by monitoring legislation. And number two, I'm also saying to the Honorable Member, Lali, through the chair, we are fully aware of the implications of Clara. In fact, to the extent that somebody in Land Affairs suggests that things are going well outside the Ingonyama Trust, I think that person is less than kind, because, in fact, the Ingonyama Trust is their biggest resource. They are the people who ask questions from us for input in terms of community rules, in terms of regulations. We believe we are more up, we are as up to date with Clara as people in Land Affairs. Mr. Chris Aitken flies quite often to advise them. Last weekend on Saturday, I had an appointment with Dr. Sivani about Clara. But if somebody is making some tests outside of Ingonyama, then we would be surprised, because nothing is taking place in KwaZulu-Natal outside Ingonyama land. 2 days back, I got a call from Jindi Farm, from people who had PTOs from Pretoria, because they asked, what can we do? Land affairs just go to the province. Province just go to Ingonyama land. They don't know what to do with those. Just those old PTOs alone. But I think I need to move forward. The question is about expenses and audit. If I may put the position that I think when it comes to audit as being unbudgeted, and the fact that we have internal and external auditors and from own funds and our own funds, let us make it this clear. The Act says the Minister of Land Affairs shall make money available for the management of the board. In other words, that is the payment of staff and office accommodation, nothing more. External auditors, like you said, we are audited by the Auditor General. And the Auditor General charges you a percentage of your general income. That is how it works. And it comes from our own fund and not from the minister, because again, the minister would be acting outside the act if she were to pay the auditor. Because what is audited is income that is self-generated. And also you look at the income that you get from the minister. Now the question is, what about the other years of 2012 and so on? In a strict sense, chairperson, we cannot budget for 2010. We cannot budget beyond the current year. Because that money for starters is not available, nobody will give it to us. But what we tend to do is to try and work on a 5-year plan. But as each year comes closer, we then do a proper budget as instructed by the Public Finance Management Act. That is how I can explain that. Is the similar question I think that was raised by Ms. Ndaba about the gaps where we haven't budgeted, but what we say is nobody will approve our budget. We can only come to this committee once our budget has been approved by Parliament, because, and the Parliament did not approve the budget of 5 years down the line. And that is how it works. But from our workings, we work with the 5-year plan. I may also ask Mr. Mia maybe to complete this question about internal budget, and not because she is the head of our finance. If I may pause on that, sir. Yes, maybe what I could say then, maybe Mr. Amin could stop later, because what I think some of the question I can wrap up in a short space of time. The question about, if I may say, so some of the question I did not pick them up, but privatization of state forests, if I may say. Privatization of state forests, we can only do a portion of that. Why? We don't have number of forests, but we've got one or two forests. The Act says, the Forestry Act says, Department of Forestry is the owner of the forest. But we are the owners of the underlying land. So what then happens is the following. We cannot privatize the forest without cooperating with the Department of Water Affairs and Forests. So in a nutshell, what we say is that process is dependent on agreement between ourselves and land affairs. So up to date, we haven't finalized the privatization of state forests, because there needs to be community participation, and on the one hand, Department of Water Affairs and Forests needs to comply with its own requirements. As far as the question of the staffing, I think what is there is correct. But again, this is budget. Our organogram provides for 16 personnel. We are not saying we have employed 16 people. We say when we want additional funding, once we have moved into new premises, this is what the organogram is. You can look even at the expenses. If you add what we say we budgeted for 16 people, and you add what we say we pay for staff, it will tell you that we're not paying 16 people. It's not 16, I suppose. What Mr. Robbenheimer was saying was that at the beginning, the decision was taken that the board must, the secretary must not be a huge bureaucracy, and for that reason we have all the years managed with a leaner staff. As we talk today, our staff is less than 10. That is the point of clarity. The other question then dealt with the question of helping communities and the question of transferred land to communities, as well as
intervention from municipalities, whether we have resolved that or not. What I would do, Chairperson, is the following on that, because we are wrapping up, I understand. I think there is a fair amount of miscommunication or misunderstanding. We got to know through Mr. Zali in this committee last year that the Lands Claim Commission had problems on certain claims on the Nyama land. As late as last Saturday, we had a meeting with the Lands Claim Commission and the Minister of Land Affairs. We were surprised because if anybody reads our annual report, you will read that in the 2004-2005, Ngonyama Trust recorded openly that the position we take on claim on Ngonyama land, we don't oppose that, but there are certain requirements we want to comply with in terms of the land. So I do not understand that we suggested that we have a poor communication with them. We said the statement that there were problems with us was a misstatement because we have taken that position. We did not say we had a communication problem with that. And for that reason, we have been asking for the last 4 years to expedite the claims on Ngonyama land, that the Commission must please help us, finish us with all the claims on Ngonyama land so that we can expedite them. That information is not forthcoming, we can understand, there are backlog and so on. But it's not a failure of communication from our side. So what I would request then, Chairperson, is that I agree with Mr. Ngema. On reflection and the new changes that are taking place, we need even to review our own organogram in terms of whether the personnel that we need to appoint would be adequate to face the challenges. And we agree entirely with that. But like I said, as far as the issue of rape are concerned, I'll ask Advocate Robin Hammer to deal with that. And as far as the issue of budget, I'll ask Mr. Mayor to deal with that. But from my side, I thank you very much for the situation. Thank you.
Advocate Robin Hammer, for me.
Madam Chair, it is entirely correct what the Honourable Member said. We have appeared before you on a number of occasions, and this has remained an unresolved issue. First, Etegweni was claiming rates in the sum of 86 million. We challenged that, and it was reduced to 23 million. It's now gone up to 742 million. Now, there's two legal issues. One is we've got a legal opinion from a senior counsel, which says that in terms of the Raping of State Property Act, which was repealed on about the 9th of July 2005, but at the time they are talking about and claiming rates, it was operative. And that act says that any land held by the state in trust for community is free from rates. Now, this board and this trust was created by this parliament as an organ of state to hold that land. They are refuting that. But there are things in law, there always are in law, two different arguments. The efficient argument, with the greatest respect to the learned gentleman who put it forward, boiled down to, if you were living in that area, yes, you are a Zulu to whom this act applies. But if you are living inside Durban, strangely, you are no more a Zulu to which this act applies. Now, that is an argument we reject. So, what has happened is we've met with them quite amicably, and we've decided on two courses of action to bring about a resolution of the situation. One, a technical exercise to make it quite clear that their records and our records are talking about the same land and the same property. That action is already in progress. And as I say, it's going forward harmoniously. Then comes the matter of the legal. The one I've just told you, the other legal point is no municipality, never mind if it's in Ngonyama Trust or Mr. Dlamini or Mr. Fanamerva or whatever, no municipality can raise rates without the account or invoice showing clearly what property and under what law did that rating come in. I don't want to take a lot of time, but this land was in KwaZulu, there were no rates. Therefore, there was a process of the democracy to change the rate system. We have yet to see, we don't say, maybe it exists, but we don't see the proclamations which in fact extended the rating system to the KwaZulu areas. So that's the other legal point. So in order to resolve the legalities of it, we have agreed that we will have to seek a court declarator. But first, because of the provisions of the Intergovernmental Relations Act number 13 of 2005, Durban Olivas Itegweni has declared a dispute under section 41 of that act. We will be required with them to appoint a facilitator under that act to try and bring about a resolution. If the facilitator can't bring about a resolution, then we go to court, not so much to sort of you win, you lose, but to say to the court, the trust argument and our counsel say this, and Durban or Itegweni will come and say, now we argue this, and we then say, the judge will say, that's right or that's wrong, and we will abide by that. If, of course, the judge says Itegweni is right, we will have to come back to you and say, fellas, 742 million feet. because the trust, I mean, Madam Chair, I don't want to be flippant, but it's a bit ridiculous, really. But we will report in due course the outcome of that, the challenge about the High Court. That should bring settlement. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. We've heard from the budget, in terms of the PFMA proceedings, the executive authority of the Minister of Finance has initially made a request for additional funding. The honourable member was relating to it. And we had a discussion thereafter with officials from the department that need for the additional funding and a recommendation will be made by the department for the additional funding. So the more specific reference to the audit piece that the honourable member raised, yes, we have made a provision throughout the intermediate period, and the first period, you know, was next year, 2007-2008, because we have first allocate money to the corporations and trusts. These money that come from the department, we had allocated to the expenses that are related to the corporate and trust, and we only received a portion of 2,351,000. We had allocated the expenses right after that limit. Thereafter, the audit fees had to be then allocated to the internal funding company. I'm not sure if there's any
other questions. I think for the presentation, I think the presentation is there for a good and I think it's a better way. Thanks for that. Thank you.
was commission that invite also the visitors join us. I know they always rush for planes and all those things. You might have an opportunity to interact with them, some of the things that they've not been able to answer.
Just for lunch. Excuse me. I'm from the newspaper called Unical Agri. And I'd like to take a picture of the few of you, please. Maybe tell my colleague. I only think I've got a picture of the few of you. What do you want to do?